If you want to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, please. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 is where we'll be. We've been going through the book of Daniel, and the Lord has been helping us and teaching us things through the Word of God here. I'm not sure how many messages we've had from Daniel now, but we're picking up in midway through chapter 7. We've been talking about the celestial courtroom and the time of judgment and the viewpoint of heaven from God's perspective now, looking upon the beast. And we're going to talk about the fourth beast and the horn, and that representing the Antichrist. And so we're getting down here where Daniel has received the dream, the vision. But now we're coming to the point in this chapter where Daniel's going to want a little bit more light. He's like, now that was scary, that was troubling, what I just saw in this vision. And so Daniel's going to go for more truth, as we mentioned in last week's message. And that's exactly what he's going to do here. And so let's pick up right where he wants to go for more information after he was grieved and troubled and concerned. And we talked about how we all should be that way when it comes to God's judgments. Look at verse 16 with me, please. We'll pick up there and we'll read through the rest of the chapter. It says here, after he was grieved and saw this vision, he wanted more light. And he says, I came near unto one of them that stood by. We know that was the host of angels, servants of the Most High God that were around and standing by. They actually escorted the Son of Man into that presence that we saw. But it was one of the angels. And Daniel asked him the truth of all this. He's like, can you elaborate? Can you give me some more light on this vision that I just saw? So the angel responds. He says, So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, now he's going to go ahead and interpret it. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now I want you to, as we read through this, I want you to note the times that the phrase the saints is used, okay? The phrase the saints is used, all right? We're going on down here and verse number 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head and of the other which came up and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. With God's help, I want to preach a message to you this morning titled this, Remembering the Great Tribulation Martyrs. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for the time we have together this morning. Lord, we're just going to seek to take the next half hour to dive into the Word of God and ask You, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Lord, make Your Word and Your will more clearer to us this morning. Help us, Lord, to hear Your voice. And Lord God, I do pray that You would make an eternal difference in each of the lives represented here this morning. Would You do that, Father? I do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remembering the Great Tribulation Martyrs. You know, this weekend, as I mentioned before, we celebrate Memorial Day, and rightly so. I'm an American through and through, and I'm thankful for my country, and I'm thankful for what God has blessed us with. And I think of men, just like we see on the cover of our bulletin, Iwo Jima there, and men that gave their lives during that battle, and scores of other battles throughout U.S. history. A day we remember those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. I mentioned to the Potter's House yesterday this morning, since the time of U.S. history and the wars through U.S. history, starting with the Revolutionary War, over 1.1 million Americans have died in battle, given their lives for freedom. And one of the deadliest battles that we know of in U.S. history was the Battle of Argonne Forest in World War I that resulted in, that one battle resulted in 26,000 deaths. That's an enormous amount of people that would die in one battle, and the life that we lost. Listen, that's the town of Jefferson being wiped out three times. We got a population of well over 9,000 in the city of Jefferson. Three times of that was wiped out in that battle. Men gave their lives for the freedom of our country. And boy, I just say thank God for those men and women who have given their all for us, so that we could even worship here freely this morning. Isn't that a blessing, church? We don't have to be hidden around in some forest. We don't have to be down in some sort of basement and be in secret this morning. No, we worship freely. It's because of those that have gone before us and given their all, and those that have served our country, how thankful we are to them. You know, I'm thankful for this weekend that we could celebrate that. I'm so thankful for all those that serve in our country. And by the way, can I just say something right here? A little side note. Parents, we, number one, need to be grateful and thankful to our U.S. servicemen, our U.S. military. But let's teach our children to be grateful as well. I think it's a great characteristic. Now listen, this is between you and God. I'm not going to say that this is written in the Bible, but I think it's a great characteristic and principle to keep. I believe it'd be good if you teach and train your children to, when you see a man or woman in uniform, to go up and thank them for their service for our country. I think that instills good American citizenship and gratitude and gratefulness for their sacrifice that they're making. Go up and shake their hand and just show that appreciation. That for sure is something that we should practice on a daily basis. And I even go further than that. I say, hey, with first responders, our policemen, our firefighters and others, just being grateful for those that are willing to lay down their life. So many have, and how grateful we are. But we're coming up on a situation here in our passage where, as devastating as it is that all the lives that have been lost in American history, over 1 million, and how devastating that is for sure. But you know, that truly pales in comparison to the lives that will be lost during this tribulation time that we will speak of this morning. Listen, half, if you can imagine, after the church is called out of here, half of the world's population will be wiped out. Think about that. It's hard to even get our minds wrapped around it, but that's the scene that we're upon, and that's what we will see here explained. You know, the Word of God talks about that only 2 out of 3, we'll read in Zechariah, 2 out of 3 of the saints that it's referring to here will survive the Great Tribulation. 2 out of 3 will survive. Boy, could you imagine that being our case? Well, only 2 of you out of 3 will survive this tribulation, this time. But that's exactly what happened. We see the word saints that I had you notice and underline there, the reference to saints is used six times just in our passage here. Six times, the saints. Well, who are these saints? Well, I believe majority of them is in reference to the believing Jews. Those that will stand strong in the tribulation time. Because you'll remember, the church is going to be off the scene by now. They're going to be called out of here. The tribulation 7 years will commence, as we saw in our passage, time and times and time and half a time. We see that that speaks of the tribulation, the dividing of time, excuse me. It talks about the 7 years of tribulation that will come. We won't be here, those that have believed on the Lord, but there will be a believing remnant. The believing Jews, and I believe that is referenced. Now, will there be saved Gentiles during the tribulation? Absolutely. A lot of them. I believe that. And it will be a witness through the Jewish, and of course the 144,000 we know of will be preaching at a time during that tribulation, will be preaching the gospel. And we see that, but we see the reference to the saints. And with the time we have left this morning, I want to talk about these saints. As we think about Memorial Day, I didn't plan this, folks. That's just how God works. You think the scheduling of how I'm preaching expositorially through the book of Daniel, I am not on a schedule. I wish I could stand up here and say I'm as disciplined enough to be on a schedule, but I'm not, okay? I stay on a passage, you know, other messages come up during the year, visiting speakers, all kinds of things come in. But just so happens that this is the message that God wanted us to have for Memorial Day weekend. And yes, we remember our U.S. soldiers, but this morning with God's help, let's remember this morning the lives that will be lost during the Great Tribulation. But thankfully, I hope, as it is in America, the lives that have been lost, they have not been in vain. We have a lot to say about that, do we not? That the blood that they shed, that it's not in vain. Well, this right here won't be in vain either. I want us to see, number one, their dedication. Number one, their dedication. We see here, back in our passage, if you'll look, it's very obvious here that we're talking about the tribulation time where the saints will receive the kingdom, but it will not come until there is a battle. And that's where we see, even verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Okay, that will be after the battle time. But in the meantime, look at verse 21. And it says here, after he beheld the ten horns, and it goes on to talk about in his head and the ones that will rise up against of that horn, the Antichrist. We talked about that already. Verse 21, I beheld in the same horn, what's the next two words, church? Made war. Made war with the saints and prevailed against them. I want us to see, number one, about these saints. I want to see their dedication. Their dedication. What do you say? Why? Where do you get dedication from? How can this crowd? How do you get where they're dedicated? Well, the Word of God says they made war. The Antichrist would make war against them. And I want to tell you, there's going to be a dedicated crowd that's going to stand up against him. It's going to stand up against the Antichrist, and we see that. We're going to be in the book of Revelation some too, so take a bulletin or something, put right there in the book of Daniel, and go over to the book of Revelation. We'll be over in Revelation a couple times. Go over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, I'll just read verse 4. We'll come back to this passage, I think, again. And listen to what it says here. And I saw thrones, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. There he is. These people have refrained and rejected the notion that they would bow down any other than Almighty God. And it says here, neither his image, they did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That will come after the tribulation time. You want to say, were these folks dedicated? Do you think they were dedicated? Boy, I believe they were. All I'm saying is, if you're willing to lose your head for Jesus, I'm telling you right now, you're dedicated. And may God help us have that same dedication in our life. May we be willing to lose our life for Jesus' sake. Hey, you know, we're willing. We got men and women who are willing to give their lives for their country. And I say, praise God for that. And let's take it up another notch. How many would be willing to give their lives for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I see a dedication here. They refused the mark. Man, you talk about that. You talk about that mark. Oh my. You know, you just see it more and more in our age of technology, do you not? Boy, the little codes we have. What are the little codes you put on you can scan? What are they called? Yep, that's it. Whatever that is. But you got the little barcode on things. You can just hit it with you. You can scan it with your iPhone or whatever smartphone you have and just scan. Yep, that's it. Man, the technology you got today with video, Skype, Facebook, live. I mean, you think about that. They're having a terrible problem now with, you've seen it in the media where people are recording on Facebook Live of just wickedness, murderers. Just things that you would never could think of and imagine, and they're running out. Well, how do we stop this? And that's what they're trying to figure out with Facebook Live. Well, I'm telling you, can you not see how easy it will be in the end times for the Antichrist to use technology? Where everybody can tune in at the same time. No matter where you are in the world, it will be used. And by the way, you can't, listen, there'll be a time where you'll have this phone and you're tracked everywhere you go. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody, listen, the government knows where we're at all the time. You'll never get away from that. But hey, you know, as far as like posting things, and if the government is reading things and I'm posting, hey, let them read it. I don't have anything to hide. I hope they get saved by reading my post. That's what my testimony would be. I hope they wouldn't read my post and say, hey, this guy's claiming to be a Christian half the time, and then half the time, look what else he's viewing. I don't want that to be that testimony. But the fact of the matter is, technology will be used. And listen, there's going to be a great dedication that's going to be made by these saints, because they're going to be received the mark. And that mark, we know, is 666 will be written across their foreheads. And they will be marked, or they will be taken away all privileges. And then they will be marked for death. Can you imagine that? You won't be able to buy any groceries. You won't be able to buy anything. You won't be able to use a phone. You won't have any cell phone privileges. It will be all taken away unless you take the mark. And I tell you what, that's some dedication. I'm getting some feedback here up here, Brother Sam. But I tell you what, that takes some real dedication for somebody to stand against that. And let's ask ourselves this morning before we move on, where do we stand in our dedication to the Lord? What if persecution were to come in? Let's just say, hey, I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists, and I'm thinking about, oh, who's going to take us over tomorrow? But let's just say, for all practical purposes, what if China and Russia would have come together and invade our country and say, none of you are going to have your Bibles, none of you are going to go to church, none of you are going to do those things. I wonder how we would stand in our dedication. I wonder if we would go to the underground church. I wonder if we would keep our Bibles hid away and not just give them away, and try to keep them so they can't take them away, and be willing to lose our lives if they come into our house and find a Bible and it's immediate death. I wonder if we would keep our Bibles. I wonder. Well, boy, I'll tell you what these saints did, and they paid for it. Look over in Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast, what, church? Should be killed. Should be killed. That was the option. And we see their dedication. Number two, I want us to see their death. Two out of three of them were to die before Jesus would come. We see their death. We go back and to our passage. You can keep something in Revelation there too, because we'll be back to Revelation. But back to Daniel, we do see that the Word of God says it made war, and that phrase, and prevailed against them. That gives the idea is that the enemy, from all views, from this point of view, was seeking to overcome. They were prevailing. They were losing. To a certain degree, from a certain perspective, they were losing. They were losing their life for good reason. But it says that they prevailed against them, and that's what I believe is speaking of the great martyrs that took place, the martyrdom that took place there as a result of them taking a stand for God. Hold your place there in Daniel, and go over to Zechariah with me. There in the Minor Prophets. Zechariah. Just go to the end of the Old Testament, go to Malachi, and then just go back one book. Zechariah, chapter number 13. We're talking again about now their death during this tribulation time, these saints, because of their dedication. Look at verse 7. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. All right, so that's two thirds in verse 9. And I will bring the third part, those that remain, those that survive, those that endure, through the fire. And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. There was a protection there of Almighty God over a third of this group, that they would be the believing remnant that would be awaiting the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ, when He would come to set up His kingdom, His throne. But we see here that they laid down their lives for Almighty God, even up to death. Go over there with me back in Daniel. Well, you can stick something in Zechariah. I'm telling you to stick all these things. I hope you got lots of paper there, okay? You can hold your place there in Zechariah. We'll come back to it. But look there in Daniel, back in the book of Daniel, chapter 8. Go over one chapter from our passage this morning and go over to Daniel chapter 8, verse number 24. And again, speaking of this tribulation time and the power of the wicked one, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. This power that is given to him by Satan, the beast, the horn, he will come, and the Bible, the Word of God says clearly that shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. How clear it is that these people gave their lives and glory to God for their example. And I hope this morning, as we look at their dedication and their death, that we'll be encouraged in our spirit to realize, you know what, God is worth it. Sometimes in my own life, I'm thinking, my goodness, Brinson, sometimes you're not even willing to live for God, much less die for Him. And sometimes we get so complacent in our American Christianity, and hey, I'm here to tell you, I'm right, I'm raising my hand, I'm with you. We got it so made, don't we, folks? We don't have to worry about persecution. And man, we just grow complacent. To where we, in a free country, where the worst that people can say to us is no thank you, or no, or get out of my face, but we're afraid to even speak of the name of Jesus. What has gone wrong there? We've gotten spoiled.
I'm speaking about Brinson Jennings too, folks. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm speaking as a group. We've grown spoiled in our dedication where we won't even, in a free country, God has given us to speak freely of the Son of God. To share His Word wherever we go, wherever we can. But yet we've grown timid. But boy, as I look at these dear saints who are in the face of Antichrist saying, we will not take your mark. We refuse to bow down before you. We will not worship your image. Wow. The power of that is simply speaks volumes that they knew they would lose their lives, their children. Listen, people that were dying left and right, and that God would preserve some of them to the end, but they were willing to go all the way to the end, their death. Oh, how we remember the dedication and the death of the saints during the tribulation time. Hey, that day may come. I don't know, little Caroline and little Christopher and little Logan and Carly. Hey, I don't know what they're going to be facing in 30 years, 40 years, when they're in their 40s and 50s. I don't know. Who knows the persecution they were facing? Well, what can we do as parents? What can we do as a local church to prepare them for that type of persecution? To prepare them for that kind of attacking from the wicked one? That if America goes down, how can we? We teach them to let it be real. This thing's not a play game, okay? It's not pretend. We play church and then we do our other stuff. No, we are living the Christ life constantly. And encouraging our young people to take a stand with grace. To be able to face persecution and the enemy and mockery. Be able to face it with some holy backbone. Isn't that right, Kendra? She's down here smiling. I think she's agreeing with me. Amen. I believe that it's true. I believe that we can take a stand and see our young people make a difference for Almighty God. But then thirdly, we see their dedication, we see their death, but then, thank God, we see their deliverance. Back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, we see that as this time has come, we see, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Looks like, oh man, looks like things are looking pretty rough, things are looking pretty dim and bleak, I'm telling you. I don't know, but praise God for verse 22. Hallelujah. Until the Ancient of Days came. Praise God for that truth right there. Yes, the enemy was prevailing against them, but then Almighty God shows up on the scene. King Jesus comes in great fierceness, and He comes with great vengeance. And there's a believing remnant, and He's going to restore hope. And then there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. And we see that there is deliverance that had been promised to the people of Israel for all these years. God's going to hold to His Word. He's preserving His people. Look back in Zechariah chapter 14. Go back to Zechariah. Hold your place there in Daniel. Zechariah chapter 14. Look what's going to happen when God shows up during this at the end of this tribulation time. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. The Word of God says here, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses riffled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth. Listen to this terminology, dear church, and fight against those nations. And when He fought in the day of battle, and His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and a half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal, yea, shall flee
like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That's when the Lord shows up, dear friend. Hey, and the capital of the world, dear friend, will be Jerusalem. That's where the reign, and it's not going to be in Washington, D.C. anymore, dear friend. The capital will be in Jerusalem. And that's where King Jesus will rule. And deliverance has come. Look over there in Revelation chapter 16. Same account. Look at Revelation chapter 16. I appreciate you flipping around with me this morning here on the different verses through the different passages. I appreciate you doing that, navigating back and forth. Thank you for that. Revelation chapter 16, look there with me. Revelation chapter 16, verse 14, the Word of God says, "For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, as I come as a thief, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they shall see his shame." Verse 16, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon." That, my friend, will be the fiercest battle of all time, of all the world's history. And I want to tell you, we get the end report. Jesus wins. And the saints with him. And when, by the way, in the Word of God, it talks about they should be given judgment or dominion. It's talking about we get to participate with the ruling affairs of the world. God lets his children, those that have died and born again in Jesus and the believing remnant, we're going to be able to rule alongside Almighty God. We're going to have service areas. Brother Ricky, you might be mayor of Nicholson, brother. Now, let's say Athens. I believe Brother Ricky will be in Athens. Brother James is going to be in Atlanta. I'm telling you right now, we see that he's coming and he's going to give great deliverance. And by the way, that's the truth for every born-again believer. God will bring deliverance, just like he's going to bring to the nation of Israel. We get to be a part of that. And then lastly, in closing this morning, church, I want us to see their dominion. We see their dedication and their death and their deliverance given by Almighty God, the Son of God, King Jesus. And then we see their dominion. Look there back in our passage in Daniel. Back there in chapter 7. Look how the chapter ends. It simply states the very fact of this dominion. And then the interesting there, of course, we talked about verse 25. Another evidence of the persecution was the horn speaking great words against the Most High. And he also said, "Shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Again, speaking of persecution. And then we talk about him seeking to change the religion, change the laws, change all of that. He was seeking to do that. And we see the tribulation time of his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That is speaking of the 7-year tribulation. And then listen to verse 26. "But the judgment shall sit." After he sought to speak against the Almighty, and as he sought to persuade men to follow him, and he got embarrassed by many of the Jews and theirs that stood against him, the Bible says, "And the judgment shall sit." That is the same phrase and the same meaning of what we saw in verse 10. Do you remember? Verse 10, back a couple messages ago, remember when it says, "The judgment was set"? Same idea. It was time to let judgment roll. And boy, did it. God brought it. And it did sit. And then it says, "And they shall take away his dominion and to consume it and destroy it unto the end." And we saw that in verse 11 as well, that it was destroyed. The horn, the beast, the representation of that kingdom destroyed. And it says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven," what does it say, "shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High." Again, that means we're going to be ruling with Him. An everlasting kingdom. Can I tell you, the Davidic covenant
has come to place in this passage. God says, I'm going to set up a kingdom, and He promised David that. We see in the book of 2 Samuel, we see the promise that was given, and it's coming to fruition right here. We see the Davidic covenant being fulfilled. We see the Abrahamic covenant being fulfilled. We see the Palestinian covenant being fulfilled. We see the new covenant being fulfilled. Hey, God is a God of His Word. And boy, I'm telling you what, that's something to be charged about, dear church. It's something to be encouraged about, that God will fulfill His Word. And as we look, and as strange as it sounds, we remember people that have not died yet, but will. And let it change us in the way we think, in the way we move, in the way we witness, in the way we love, in the way we make a difference. I'm thankful that the Word of God says about this dominion. You know what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy? Says, if we suffer, we shall also what? Reign with Him. Hey, there is times of suffering now. You will be looked down upon. Especially our young people, our generation. I've just never seen it. I don't even remember it in just 20 years ago when I was a teenager. Okay? And I just don't remember all of that taking place the way it did. The persecution that I see, but boy, the mockery that I see upon our young people even today. They will laugh you out of town because of a true stand for Christ. Now listen, you can tell people you're a Christian. That's fine. I mean, really. Of course you can say you're a Christian, and of course you can go to church. But when you stand up to somebody and say, I'm not going to do that, that is when the persecution begins. That's exactly what happened is going to happen in the tribulation. They're going to say, no, we're not taking the mark. We're not going to take it. Oh, God, please help us as a church to take a stand like these men and women, as they took a stand for the Almighty. I want to read this to you, and I read it because I don't want to mess it up. But would you do me a favor and listen very closely? Does the name John and Betty Stamm ring a bell with any of us? What a life-changing story. I'm telling a very, very, very abbreviated portion of it. But listen to this, church. John and Betty Stamm, their little baby infant Helen, were persecuted. They were missionaries in China with the China Inland Mission, and they were there reaching those people for Christ in the 1930s, a time of great persecution, by the way. They were taken. They were taken as prisoners with the little, sweet little infant, Helen. And they were taken to a local prison where some of the prisoners were released to make room for the Stamms. In the midst of the hustle and bustle, little Helen, you know anything about a little infant, she started crying. She got upset. And I know, even with Caroline, man, when she gets to going, boy, and she gets cranked up, I tell you what, that's enough to scare anybody away or drive anybody crazy. And I know how that could be. Well, in this case, they weren't going to tolerate it. And these Chinese men that were in this prison, little Helen is just crying away. And you know what happens? She started crying, and a soldier suggested that they kill the baby. Just kill her. And they were dead serious. And then after that, they suggested that. Then one of the prisoners who had just been released in this account asked why they should kill this innocent baby. And the soldiers turned to him and said, hey, are you willing to die for this foreign baby? And the man evidently was, because they hacked him to pieces in front of the Stamms. Little Helen survived and was allowed to live. But the next morning, as they were getting ready to take them out and march them out for execution, the next morning the Stamms were forced to march 12 miles west of where they were with the soldiers to a town of Mieshu. And the group stopped for night, and Betty was allowed to tend to Helen, their little baby. But in fact, Betty instead hid her daughter in the room inside of a sleeping bag. Then very next morning, John and Betty were being marched down the streets of Mieshu to meet their deaths. Listen to this. Curious onlookers lined both sides of the streets. Just envision this. A Chinese shopkeeper stepped out of the crowd. You imagine? and said something to the communist. He said, trying to persuade them, "Do not kill these people." The soldiers ordered the man back into the crowd, but he wouldn't step back. The soldiers then, because of his stand for the Stams, they went to his house. They suspected something, and sure enough, by going into his house, they found hidden in secrecy a Holy Bible and a hymn book. And upon finding that, he was led alongside the Stams, the three of them, to be executed for being a Christian. After marching for a short while longer, John Stam on the spot was beheaded. He was beheaded right there. He was ordered to kneel and beheaded right in front of his dear wife. His wife and the shopkeeper were then killed moments later. Just like that. Stand for Christ. They were willing to stand. Listen to what is written on their tombstones, on their right there at their graveyard where they're buried. Listen to this. John Cornelius Stam, January 18, 1907. He's born. The verse, "That Christ may be glorified, whether by life or by death." Philippians 1:20. His dear wife, Elizabeth Scott Stam, February 22nd, 1906, in quotation, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." December 8th, 1934, Miyeshu Ahui, the guy that stood up for them, the guy that stepped out into for the cause of Christ, with this verse, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Dear church, as we reflect upon this scene of the great tribulation of the saints that will die, their dedication, their death, but we see their deliverance and their dominion, let it impact our lives. Let it change us in our homes and how we train our children and love them and lead them. Because listen, we may be leading them to a scene similar to this. How will they respond? Let's pray. Father, Almighty God, would You take the message this morning and use it in the lives of Your people, in my life, in the life of this church, and change us, oh God. I don't want to be the same, dear God. I want to grow in this area, Lord. I want to let these people impact me. Just as the American soldiers, the men and women have given their lives, gives me chills thinking about it. And has such impacted my life as an American citizen. How thankful I am to wave that American flag. And I'm thankful to You, Lord, for preserving our country and blessing our country. But Lord, help us to see more than that we are American citizens. We are heavenly citizens. We're children of the King. And oh God, may we represent You with confidence, with no shame, even in the face of persecution. Lord God, we need You in this. We need a revival in our hearts. Would You please help us with this very point? For I do ask You, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.